Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf yud. We're holding the third line from the top of the amud. The last word on the line, it says, Tzibur, Tzavur, Echad, Shel Chometz, Ulefonav, Beis, Batim, Bedukim. As you recall, we started this sugya yesterday on Tes Amud Beis, where we said that you had, for instance, nine pekelech, nine bundles of matzah, we had one bundle of chometz, and the achbar took away one of the pieces, either of matzah or of chametz. We don't know whether he took chametz or matzah. What's the din? We brought a raya from Teisha Chanoyas, and then we brought other cases as well. And today, Mitch, I'm going to continue this entire Amud Aleph and almost the entire Amud Beis, coming up with real live questions and how the Gemara is going to be pushed at them from Mishnayis or Brises in other situations. So again, we have Tzibur Echad Shel Chometz. You have a whole bundle of Chometz. Ulefan of Beis Batim. And there are two houses. Bedukim. Both of them, there's been a Bedikas Chometz. Okay. V'yosa Achbar. And a mouse comes along with Shokal and he takes away a piece of Chometz. So we know for sure that there's a mouse. We know for sure that he took a piece of Chometz. But the question is, V'loyot Inan Ilahai Ol Ilahai Ol. But I don't know in which house he went. In other words, this mouse made a plata. He ran very, very, very quickly and entered into one of the two houses. Two neighbors, Yankel and Beryl. But I don't know which house he entered into. Did he go into Yankel's house or Beryl's house?
How do you know he went to a house?
We saw that. I have it's viral. I saw clearly he went.
But if you saw him go into the house, you would know.
It was far enough away that you couldn't see which house. The two doors were one next to each other. Both of them were open at the time because they wanted to have a nice breeze. And we saw that the mouse headed to one of them, and then we missed it whether he went to the right one or to the left one. Listen, if it never happened, it's a kasha for masa. The point is, it could be a theoretical. But we want to know what would be the halacha if an achbar in fact did that. We don't know. Ilahai ol, ilahai ol. We don't know. Says the Gemara, Hainu Shnei Shvilim. We can go and be pushed into Shala from the famous Mishnah in Masechtas Taharos, which talks about the two paths. A shvil is a path. So what happened in those two paths? Did not. Shnei Shvilim Echad Tamei V'Echad Tohar. There were two paths which led to a house or throughout the town. One of them they knew was Tamei, one of them they knew was Tohar. How did we know that it was Tamei, says Rashi? Because everybody knew that unfortunately there was a mess or a caver, which was mutal lirochboy. You see Rashi, the third line. Echad Tamei, caver mutal lirochboy. There was a caver underneath that path. Mumali eskuloi, and it went from one end to the other. There's no way that you can go on that path without having been mile on that caver, on that mess.
Yael means to step on it or to pass over it?
Yael is from a Lashon Ohel. So you were making your own personal Ohel over the mess, and therefore an Ohel mess is metame.
Right.
Good. So it says over here we had two paths. One we know for sure. The one on the western side, for instance, was Tameh. The one on the eastern side was Tar. And somebody went on one of those two paths, the Osa Taharis, and he made Taharis. The problem is, he doesn't know which path he went, but he knows that he went on one of the two paths, and he did Taharis, meaning that after he went on that path, he might very well have become Tameh, because he might have been Mile Alames, he may have been a person that made himself into an Ohel, hovering over the mess by walking on that path. And after he finished, he went and did Taharis. And now his chaver went on the second path. Now it's clear that they did not both walk on the same path. They know for sure. However, they don't know which path each one went on. I know for sure that he went on the one of the two, and the other person went on the second of the two. But I don't know which one was which, where the Yankel went on the right path and Beryl went on the left path, or where the Yankel went on the left path and Beryl went on the right path. I don't know. And now he did the same thing. Excuse me, that after he went on that path and he came home, he was busy with taharas. Taharas means anything that has a special tahara. Could be truma, could be kodshim, could be he was knowing his chulin b'tahara. But the point is, he now was busy with taharas. So I have to know now what the story is with those taharas. Do those taharas have a din of tumah or not? So Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, im nish'alu ze b'fnei atzmoi v'ze b'fnei atzmoi tohirin. If Yankel and Beryl both go to the same roof, who is a baki in these halachos, and they go independently. First Yankel goes 10 o'clock in the morning, and then Beryl goes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Each one went independently. The halacha will be tohirin. The rabbi will say to each one of them, you are tohar. The reason why you are tohar is because since these two shvilin, these two paths, pass through the Rishus HaRabim, we have a rule that Safik Tumma B'Rishus HaRabim, Sveikoi Tohar, if you have a Safik Tumma B'Rishus HaRabim, it's tohar. Where do we get this rule from? It's based on Soita, that by Soita it says, a Soita as we know is a woman that is suspected of engaging in nefarious affairs with a man behind closed doors. We don't know what happened, but the Torah uses the expression that maybe nitma'a. Nitma'a means maybe she became tameh. The word tameh really is not the appropriate term, because we want to know whether she was osek ba'avera. Osek is ba'avera. Did she commit a sin? But the Torah calls it tumah. And so therefore we learn from that behind closed doors, a safik, something which is in doubt, is called tameh. Rishus HaRabim, by definition, is never behind closed doors, because it's Rishus HaRabim, out in the open. So then, sveikoi is tohar. Anyway, so bottom line is, so if Yankel comes initially to the rabbi at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he tells him, I went on one of the two paths. I don't remember which one. It's 50-50. And after that, I went and touched the taharas. What will be the din? The rabbi will say, Sofik, tumah Rishus HaRabim, you are tohar. Beryl comes to him 3 o'clock in the afternoon, tells him the same story, and he tells him, by the way, I went on the other path, not the one that Yankel went. You are tohar. Shnei b'basachas, what happens if both Yankel and Beryl come together at the same time? Then tamein, because one of them is for sure tamein, because one of them went on the path which is tamein. Like we said before, we know for sure that both paths were walked on by Yankel and Beryl together, but I don't know which one did Yankel go on, which one did Beryl go on, but both of them were, we see the footprints on them, so we know for sure that somebody went on each one. I don't know it. So since I don't know, they both come to Basachas at the same time, then the rabbi has to say that they're a tummy. Why does the rabbi have to say that they're tummy? So Rashi explains, because if the rabbi would say that both of them are tohir, then people would say, there's got to be a lie over here. There's got to be a fabrication. It's impossible that both of them should be tohar, because one of them for sure went on the tamei path. There's no question about it. So why do you say that both of them are tamei? Because then you can go and say, well, the rabbis were machmir. Since we have a suffik tumah and suffik taharis and food and truma and godshim and all the rest, so they were machmir. But to go and say that both of them are tohar, that's impossible. So if they come together, then basachas are tamei. Rabbi Yossi says it really doesn't make a difference. Ben kach or ben kach tamein. Say if they come individually, say if they come together, we're going to be machmir and we'll say it's tamein. Now that's the Mishnah on the surface. Rava now comes to explain it and says it's not as simple as it sounds. Omer Rava v'isem Rabbi Yochanan. Bebas achas debriya koil tamein. If they come together at one time, everybody agrees tamein. Which is, by the way, the same as we had until now. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, they come separately, tohar, b'basachas tmein, and Rabbi Yossi says, b'enkach u'b'enkach, always tmein. So this part remains the same. B'basachas tibia kol tmein. B'zeach erzeh divya kol tohirin. If they come separately, one at 10, one at 3, everybody would agree tohar, which means even Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, but Rabbi Yossi just said, now b'enkach u'b'enkach tmein. Says Yimor le'nechliku, where's the machloikis, elubo lahashil, Olav v'yalcha v'eroi. What happens if Yankel says to Beryl, I know you're very busy today, I'm going to go to the roof and I'm going to ask on both of our behalves, both on my behalf and on your behalf. That was a mistake. Because Rabbi Yosi medamale lebasachas. Rabbi Yosi says, since Yankel is authorized to ask the Shaila on both his own behalf and on behalf of Beryl, so then he is representing both of them. It's as if both of them are now standing in front of the Ruv, and the Ruv says, I'm very, very sorry, you're both tamei. I can't say that one of you is tohar, and the other one, I can't say that both of you are tohoirim, because that would look like a lie. Can't possibly be. And I can't go and choose eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You're tar and he's tummy. He's tar and you're tummy. So therefore, both of them, unfortunately, are going to have to be machmir. Somebody for sure is tummy. There's no question about it, because one of them walked on the bad path. So therefore, medamali le basachas, and they're both going to be tummy. Rebuda medamali le ze achar ze. Rebuda says, since they did not both appear in person, only one of them appeared in person, what the Rav can do is say to that individual, I'm not going to address Beryl's Shaila, I'm only going to address your Shaila. You are Tohar. The person will ask, why am I Tohar? You are Tohar, and the Taharis that you were working with are Tohar. Why am I, and why the Taharis Tohar? Says Rashi, because since it's a Sufik, whether or not you became Tameh, Sufik, Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, we paskin is Tohar, you are Tohar. When he goes home and he's going to discuss this with Beryl, Beryl will understand, Rashi says, Me'atzma Yavin, that he's also Tohar. Because since Sofik Rishus Rabim is Tohar, and each one of them is a Sofik Tum Rishus Rabim, I paskin for you, Yankel, Beryl should figure out on his own, or he should come back later. I'm only addressing you. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda, if you look at Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi in the middle of the Amud, Rabbi Yehuda, Madam Al Hula Zeh Acher Zeh, remember, Yankel's coming for both of them. Says Rashi, middle of the Amud. Hoyul v'ein kan shoyul el echad. Only Yankel came in person. May Shivan loy, we tell him, Toher ata. You're Toher. Shari Sufik, biyahu. It's a Sufik, did you go on the right path or the wrong path? Or may atzmi yomen, and he'll understand on his own. She'af chaveiroi kamoyu. Aval kishishneim, she'alim, betoichin and yibur. Both of them coming at the same time. Then you cannot say I'm going to answer you and not answer you. Both of them came in at the same moment, so therefore I have to answer both of them and tell them, unfortunately, you're both Suffolk Tommy. Now, what does that have to do with our case? I mean, that was a fascinating case about the two Shvilin, the two paths. One was Tommy, one was Tar. Let's get back to our case of the Chometz and the mouse. What did we have over here? We know for sure there was Chometz. We know for sure that the Achbar had Chometz in its mouth. We saw him going into one of the two houses, and I don't know which house. So continuing on the same Rashi, the Gavi Batim Nami, in Bo Lishol Ze Li Atzmoi Vezeb Ifnei Atzmoi, if first Yankel comes and says, Rabbi, I got a big problem. I did a full Bedikas Chometz. It took me 3 hours. I went through 8 Hanukkah candles. I found all the pieces and then some. And now I'm afraid that maybe the Achbar brought in Chometz. I may have to do it all over again. So Marina Le the Cholchad, we tell each one individually, you don't have to go and be boydik once again. Why not? Here we don't have the benefit of Suffolk Tumma versus Sarabim Lakula, but here we have the benefit that we're talking about Bedikas Chometz. Bedikas Chometz is the Rabbanon. No, by Rabbanon Talin Lakula Bamrinan Sveikoi Mutter. And therefore, if each one comes individually, we're gonna go and say first to Yankel, it's fine. Sofik to Rabbanon, Lakula, you don't have to go and redo your Bedikah. Beryl comes in later. Beryl also, Sofik to Rabbanon, Lakula, you don't have to redo it. Vibasachas Boshnayan. But if they both came at the same time, Yankel, Beryl, Rabbi, we got a big problem. The Achbar came, the mouse, we don't know, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, Tzricha Medika, we're going to have to make, each one of them is going to have to do a brand new Medika. And left unsaid in Rashi, what happens if one person, Yankel, says, I'm coming on behalf of myself and on behalf of Beryl, that we have the Achbar coming into the house, we don't know which house, so that would be the machloikis between the Rabbanan and Reb Yossi, where, according to Reb Yossi, the Gemara said, he's Medam Alila Basachas, it's as if they both came in the same time, they're both going to have to make a new Bedikah. What Rabbi Yehuda says, Madame Lelezeh Achar Zeh. It's as if they came individually, and therefore they'll both be potter from having to be Boydik once again their homes. So therefore, the answer to our original Shaila is, it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have the next case. Sufik Ol, Sufik Loy Ol. We have a mouse, And there was only one house, not multiple houses, one house. And that one house already was boduk, meaning that we already eradicated, eliminated, we found and took out all the chametz, all taken care of. Now, there was a mouse, and I saw for sure that the mouse had a piece of bread in its mouth. Suffolk ol, suffolk loyal. But I don't know whether the mouse came into the house. What do we do now? Says Imar Hainu Bika, that's the famous case of the Bika. We normally define the word Bika as meaning a valley, but Rashi says the more precise definition is Harbi Sodois Smuchin Yachad. You have farmland, a whole bunch of farms, fields, one next to each other.
Open fields.
Open fields. Good. All next to each other in a vast, vast farmland. Good. Same Shaila. What's the machlokes of Blazer Rabbanan? Not. We learned in the Mishnah. Hanichlas a bika b'moisa gishamim. Person who goes into a bika, this open farmland area. It's during the winter months. That's an important clue. The reason why it says in the winter months, because during the winter months, all of these farms and all of these fields have a status of Rishus Hayochid, not Rishus Harabim. The reason for that is because during the winter months, people don't typically walk on the fields in the farms because, number one, there's a lot of mud. But even more importantly, says Rashi, because you have crops beginning to grow, seeds beginning to sprout, and the farmers do not want people to tread on them and stunt the growth of the seeds or the crops. So the big sign saying, no trespassing during the winter months. Get out of here. Don't even get close. So during those months, it's considered to be a Rishus Yochid because people are not using it as a public thoroughfare. Ooh, Tumma Besoda Plainis. Now we know that in this vast gathering of farms, that in one of the farms, here, let's say 25 farms, one out of this 25, we know that this Tumma, and we know which one it is. The Omer Echad, and one person said, I kind of got lost on my way home. Halachti b'makom halos. I was walking there in all of those open fields and open farms. But I don't know whether I actually walked into that field or not. If I know which field it is, but it was dark, I couldn't see. I don't know if I walked into that field, yes or no. So what happens now? So normally, Sofik Tuma Bereshusay Yachid, we are Machmer, and we say that the person is Tameh. However, here there's a Machloikas. Reb Lezer Mitzayir, Reb Lezer says he's Tohar, the Chum Metam. Then why does Reb Lezer say Tohar? Shay Reb Lezer Oymer Sofik Bia, Sofik Maga, Sofik Bia, I'm sorry, Sofik Bia is Tohar, Sofik Maga is Tuma. What does the Gemara mean? Reb Lezer agrees, of course, in principle to the Chacham, that if I have a Sofik Tuma Bereshus Hayochid, I learn from Saita, the person is Tameh. But says Reb Lezer, when do I say that? My Sofik is if it's a Sofik Maga. If I knew for a fact that I walked in the field where there was a caver, and my only Shaila was, did I touch the caver? Did I walk over it? Did I have any Shaychis? Oh, Sofik Tumah Rishus Hayochid, he's Tameh. But there's a good chance I never even got into that field. I may have gone through any one of the other 24 fields in this huge farmland. Says Reb Lezer, if that's the case, it's like what we call a Sfek Sveka. What's a Sfek Sveka? It's a double Sufik. Sufik number one is, I don't even know if I went into the field that had in it Nebuch the Kefir. And even if I went into that field, maybe I avoided it totally. Because after all, that Kefir didn't occupy the entire field. It occupied 1%, 5%, 10%. But it wasn't all over. So I might not even gotten close to that Kefir, even if I did go into that field. So therefore, says Reb Lezer, the person is Tar. Okay, that's all exciting. Now we're back to our Shaila with the mouse that went into the house. What happens now? So now we have Rashi over here. Rashi is a Chachom Mitanim. This is right before the wide lines. It's right at the end of the narrow lines of Chachom Mitanim. Tavli Sofik Tum B'Shus HaYachid, like we just said. Pribalez Lechoshuva Sofik Tum. Elim Kei Nichnas Lasada. If I know for sure he went into the field, then it would be Taka Sofik Tumay. He doesn't even know if I went into the field, whether he made himself into an ohel, whether he hovered over, whether he walked over that caver. And therefore, Aval hashta havali svek sveka. It's that double suffik that we just said. The suffik is, number one, did I go into the field? And number two, if I went into the field, I'd even get close to that kefir. Okay, so now, getting back to our case with a mouse going into the house, did he go in? Didn't he go in? So, it would seem on the surface that the Gemara is telling us it's a machlaikis. That the chachamim that are metamim over there, where they say, I don't know if he went into the field or not, but I'm being machmir, he is tamek. Here he'll also hold that I have to do a new bedikah. Or Rabbi Lezer says, if I knew he went into the house, I just didn't know whether he left the chametz behind, is one thing. But this mouse might not even have gotten close to the house. I don't know if he went into the house or not. So therefore, Rabbi Lezer L'Chai would hold that it's tohar, meaning you do not have to do a new bedikah. However, Rashi says, v'gabi batim afil rabbanan maidu. Even though Lagabi, the case of the Tumah, the Rabbanan were machmir, because a Sofik Tumah b'rshusi yachid, sveikoi tomei, but over here we're not talking about Tumah. Here we're talking about Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz is the Rabbanan. And therefore, even the Rabbanan will be toil lekul and say, maybe the mouse didn't go into the house. And if that's the case, you don't have to do a brand new Bedikah. So we started off thinking that that's the same machloikis as Bika, says, well, no. In this case, everybody would agree that you do not have to make a new Bika. And then we go on to the next shayla. Ol ubodak, the mouse, took chometz into the house. We know that for sure. And after the mouse went through the house with the chometz, the balaba said, I know for sure the mouse went in. I gotta do a new bedika. And he did a new bedika from top to bottom. Flei ashkech, and he didn't find the chametz. What do I do now? I didn't find it. Plug to the meiver rabban. Have a machlok to the meiver rabban. Did not. Hayir meir oimer kol dover shebecheskas tuma lo oilam hu betemasai ad sheyivod lecha hatuma heichan he. What is this all about? Rashi says that we have three galim. Kalim in this connection means three mounds. One mound is a mound of tumah that has in it, for instance, a dead sheret, or a nevela, or chas v'shalom, a mess. Whichever way you look at it, it's a mess. It's a gal tumah. Now there are also two galim tohirim, means two mounds which are tar, which are just full of earth and pebbles and stones and sticks and all the rest. Sticks and stones won't hurt my bones, but maybe names won't. But anyway, the point is, we have two galim which are toirim, and one gal is tamei, and we don't know which one he stepped on, or touched, or had any shaykhs to. So, what do I do now? We have a machloikis between Remeir and the Chum. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi halfway down the middle wide lines. Kol dovah shebecheskas tumah, mesechtas nida. We have gal tameh. Gal tameh means that mound which is tameh, in the middle. Shinis arev that got mixed in with shnei gal tameh, two mounds which were tohar. Bodku echem hence. They said, okay, let's check it out. Let's see where the tumah is, that people should avoid this gal, and they can go to the other two gal. They went and took this gal, they turned it upside down, they went through it meticulously, they didn't find any sherets, no nevela, no bones, make no bones about it, they found nothing. Therefore, what did they say? Who tahar? That one is tar, ushnaim tameim, the other ones are safik tameh. Remember, there was only one gal tameh, two which were tohar, but I don't know which one is which. Okay, so I already was boidik one of them. That was clean, that's tohar, and the other two are now suffik tamei. Guess what? He now is boidik gal number two, shnayim, umatzen tohirim, and he found that was also tohar. Okay, so now it's easy. Hein tohirim, those must be the two tohar ones. Vashlishi must be the tamei one. Yeah, by process of elimination. We had three. Two of them were tar, so the third one must be the bad guy. Then they said, you know, let's be on the safe side. Well, let's go and be boidik the third one. Shloshtan! They were boidik that one too. But matzah tohirim. I didn't find the dead cherits. I didn't find the nevela. I didn't find any bones. Garnished. What happens now? So the chayim, they're all tar. I didn't find anything. Says Rameir Kulon to Mayim, all three of them revert to Safek Tumah. Shay Rameir Oimer called Dovashib Cheskas Tumah. any time that there was a chazaka. In other words, we know for a fact that one of these galim had tumah in it. I don't know what happened to the tumah, but one of them, there is tumah in it. La'oilamu b'tumasai, it remains tumah forever. Unless you can go and figure out what happened to the tumah. But since it was tumah previously, it had a chazkas tumah, it remains with that chazaka until you can go and give a satisfactory explanation. Now, we are already covering a piece of the Gemara which we didn't learn yet, but we can learn it already now. We'll go back to the Gemara in a moment. What you have to do to say the Chum is go and take a very, very good shovel and be boide bekarka, go deep into the earth underneath where this mound was, choifer, and dig, at shegila sela, until you hit rock bottom, literally a large boulder or a rock. Oyla karka psula. Karka psula means virgin territory, which was never cultivated, never dug up before. Shleizazumim kaimali oyla. The Imlay Matzah, and if you cannot find it, even after digging up all three mounds and going down to rock bottom, Toilin the Oymen must be Ba'oyrev and Atola, must have been an Oyrev, a raven, a crow that came and took away this Tumah, or Ba'oyrev and Natla, or Ba'achba and Natla, or maybe there was a mouse that took it away.
Or a weasel,
exactly. We'll talk more about the weasel in the Yamid Beis. So, you could put your finger here for a moment with regard to Dikas Chametz, just going back to the Gemara for a moment. Again, we have all Ubodak V'loi Ashkach. The mouse definitely went in. I definitely did a bedika and I didn't find the chametz. Put the meiver abad. Not here, meiver oimer. Kol davar shebecheskas tumah. When you know for sure that there was a cheskas tumah, we know one of the three galim had tumah. Lo oilam hu b'tumasa. He says Rameyah that remains tumah forever. Ad sheyavod lecha tumah hechani. Unless you can go and figure out what happened to the tumah. But if you can't, I'm very sorry. All three of now are going to have that cheskas tumah. Remember the Rashi that I inspected all three. I didn't find it. All of them are tumah. The chachamim oimrim boidek at shemagia lesel oil karka psula. Go as that deep as you can until you hit the large boulder or virgin territory, and then you conclude, I don't know what happened with the tumah, but obviously it's not here. It must be an orev. It must be an achbar. It must be a chulda. Somehow, somewhere, it got lost. It got out of here. Now, what would be the din now? Okay, so it seems to be that would be the same machloikas. Meaning, according to Rameyah, that Rameyah says, it has a cheskas tumah until you find it. This house is a cheskas chametz until you find it. I didn't find the chametz anywhere. It must be here somewhere. I have to turn the house upside down another 12 times until I find it. Well, the chametz say, no, you do the best you can. If you can't find it, then you have to assume that the same achbar or another achbar took it out, and you don't have to worry. So now, l'chayr it's the same machlekes, but getting back to the Rashi, v'gav b'dikas chometz afil r'meir omrinan achbar achla, the b'dikas chometz rabbanan. Even though in that case we had a machlekes l'gavi the tumah, whether or not the tumah is still around forever according to r'meir, according to chom, just dig until the bottom. Here says Rashi, everybody would agree that you do not have to go and do another bedika. You already did one bedika, right? I saw the achbar come in. He brought in the chametz. I did a bedika. I didn't find it. You don't have to do a second bedika. According to Meir, it's a cheskas tumah la'olam. Why don't they say cheskas chametz la'olam? Again, says Rashi, because bedikas chametz is drabanan. So therefore, even Meir will be lenient in this case and say, you don't have to do another bedika. So whatever happened with the chametz? Probably the same achbar that slept the chametz in. Probably ate it up, and that's why you don't find the chametz any longer. Okay, so let's go on to the next case. Ol ubadek v'ashkach. The mouse came in, and he had chametz in his mouth, and I did a bedika, and guess what? And I found a piece of bread. Okay, so now what's the question? The question is this bread the mouse's bread, or this was another piece of bread which I had overlooked previously and I didn't find, and now I found it. Is this the mouse's bread or not? So do I have to do yet another bedika to find whether perhaps it was another piece of bread for the mouse? So you know, look to the Rabbi Rishim Gamliel. Oh, Tisanya. Soda shenevad ba kever. You have a soda where there's a kever in it, and I don't know where the kever is. Hanichlis letoich, anybody that goes into that field, tome. he has a din of safek tameh, because he may or may not have stepped on that kever. Nimtza ba kever, what happens if you found the kever, hanichas latoicha tohar. In other words, this sada, this field, we know already for the last 25 years, there's a kever somewhere. I don't know where that kever is. So anybody that goes into that field has to be machmir and assume that maybe he stepped on top of the kever. And if that's the case, he was ma'il alatama, he was, became like a human ohel, he's tamei. But what happens if after the 25 years, finally we found the kever? Okay, so just avoid the kever. Put a marker around it, put a rope around it, put cement around it, something to identify that's the kever, and now a nichas l'toicha tor. So now you can go into all the rest of the field and just avoid those 5, 10, 20 amas of the kever, and go to the right, go to the left, go to the north, to the south, just stick away from the kever, then you're tor. Why? Shani oimer, because I say that kever she'ovad, hu kever she'nimtza. That old kever that was lost 25 years ago, that's the one that was just found now. I don't have to worry about another kever. Tibirabi. You're not finished yet. Even though you found the kever, continue digging up the rest of the field, because where there's one kever, there might be a second kever. Therefore, you cannot rely on the fact that you found one kever. So the chayr, that's the same machlokes over here. You have the mouse. The mouse went inside and certainly had chametz in its mouth. And I don't know what happened with that chametz. Oh, I found a piece of bread. Okay, so says Rebbe, even though, according to Rebbe, the piece of bread that you found, that was probably the one that was lost. Meaning that was probably the one that the mouse brought in. Just like when I say, I couldn't find the kever for 25 years. But now I found it. Says Rebbe, you don't have to look for another one. That's the one. I found the piece of bread. That's the one that the mouse brought in. Reb Shem Gamliel says, no. You got to continue being boitik the entire house from end to end, from the ceiling from the roof to the floor to the basement. Be boitik everything. Because even though you found one piece, there might be another piece, the piece that was brought by the mouse. Here Rashi does not make any changes, so apparently this would have to be a machloikis lahalacha, or according to Rebbe, as soon as you found the first piece, you came into the living room, you found it, Baruch Hashem, I found it, I don't have to continue being boidik the rest of the house. Reb Shem Gamliel says, no, you got to be boidik the rest of the house. Okay, new case. Hiniach tes u'matze yud. You originally left over, let's say, on the night of Bedikas Chametz, after you finish Bedikas Chametz, you left behind 9 pieces of bread. Why? Because you have 9 family members. Everybody wants to have a piece of bread in the morning, so you left over 9 pieces. And then you come the next morning, umatze yud, and you find that there are 10 slices. And you say, wow, that is strange. I had 9 slices last night. I counted it 8 times. I found 9 slices, and now there are 10. What's going on? So do I have to be concerned that maybe these are, do I say that these are the same 9 and someone or some animal added a 10th? Or do I say no, that the original 9 were taken away? In fact, they may be in another room somewhere. I'd better look for them. And these new 10 pieces are brand new. So if you want to plug to Rebbe Rabban, Tisanya, Hiniach Mana Umatza Masayim, Chulin Umasa Sheni Muravin Zeb Zeh, Divrei Rebbe. I originally left over 1 mana. A mana means like a $100 bill, so to speak. Very large quantity of money. And that mana was Master Sheni money. And I put it there in my drawer, and I know it was there, and I checked it every day. And guess what? One day I open up the drawer, Matzah B'Sayim, I see double. Psh, what's going on? Not that I saw double. I saw Taka 2 mana in the drawer. So the question is, what happens now? Says Rebbe, in all likelihood, the first mana of Maisa Sheni is still there. Nobody took it away. And they added another mana of Chulin money. So I have Chulin u'Maisa Sheni murav and zebezeh. Chulin u'Maisa Sheni are mixed together in this drawer. Divrei Rebbe. V'chom moimrim hakol Chulin. You can assume it's all Chulin because you can assume that the old mana was taken away. And this is brand new Masayim. Aha. Okay, so that's the same machlekas over here too. We started off with 9 pieces, and now we find 10 pieces. According to Rebbe, it will be chulin u'maaser sheni murav and zebezeh, meaning that the old 9 pieces were there from before, and someone added a 10th slice. And therefore, you don't have to look for any other 9 pieces, because it's the same ones from last night. No. We have to assume that all of the nine were taken away by a person or by an achbar, by a chulda, a weasel, and therefore maybe they're lying in another room somewhere, in another drawer, another place. And these are 10 new slices. And therefore you have to do a brand new bedika to go and check. And now we have the reverse case. Hiniach yud, you left over 10 slices the night before. Umatzatation yaun, you find 9 in the morning. So Timur Hainu Seifa, that's the same Braisa that we just quoted, but it's going to be the Seifa of the Braisa instead of the Reisha of the Braisa. What does it say in the Seifa? The Sanya hiniach mosayim umatzamana. Oh, the reverse case. I had in my drawer 200 master sheni money. One day I open up the drawer, matzamana. Uh-oh, there's only 100 left. What do I say? Mana munach umana mutal divrei Rabbi. It must be that the 100 of the 200, I don't know who took the other 100. Maybe I took it, maybe my wife, maybe my children, maybe a ganav. Somebody took 100. But the 100 that remains, that's the same master sheni that was before. And somebody, unfortunately, took away the second one. Divirem. You can assume that both, the 200 were both taken together away at the same time by the same person. And this is a brand new mana. Okay, so it'll be the same machlekes over here too. I have the 10 pieces, and now I only have 9 pieces left. According to Rebbe, the 9 are the same ones that were there before, and the 10th one was taken away, just like they had the 2 mana of Meiser Sheni. I only find one. One is still there from before, and one was taken away. So it's the same 10 slices, missing one. I have to assume that these are 9 brand new slices. I don't know what happened to the 10. So I'm going to have to go and look for the other 10 to try to find them. Maybe they're in another room somewhere else. Okay, new case. Hiniach b'zav yezu umatz b'zav yisacheres. I originally put down my chametz the night before Erev Pesach. I put it in the right corner in the kitchen. And then the next morning I get up and say, okay, kinderlach, time to eat breakfast. And guess what? Instead of the loaf of bread being in the right zavius, it's in the left zavius. So now, is this the same one? Or maybe the one that was in the right zavius was taken away, and this is a brand new one? Again, a machloik is looked at b'shivim aliyah b'rabban. What's the machloik? The sanya. Kardim sho'ovad b'bayis. What happened if you had a kardim? Kardim is a shovel or a hoe that was lost inside a house. In other words, I always had a special place where I kept my kardim, and I come one day, and it's not there. Somebody took the kardim. She over the bayis was lost in the house. Habayis tamei. All of my utensils in my house now have a din of suffik tuma. Why? It's just the one kardim that's lost. What does it have to do with the rest of the klei habayis? Says the bayis shani oimer odom tamei nichlus l'sham. There was a ganef who came into the house looking for all types of instruments, implements, utensils. He found the kardim. He says, I want that kardim, and he took it away. But in the meantime, he touched everything else. He opened up all the drawers, he touched this and touched that. Therefore, everything is, you have a suffik tumma, because I shani oimer odom tami nichlus Hashem, and not when he took it. Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer habayis tohor shani oimer hishiloi li acher v'shochach. Because I say to myself, come on, I'm going to steal this kardim. What probably happened is the balabas who owns that kardim, he lent it to his neighbor, to somebody else, and he lent it to him a month ago, 2 months ago, and both of them forgot about it. The lender, the one that owns the kardim, forgot that he gave it to the borrower, and the borrower forgot to return it. So there was no ganef over here, and therefore all the kalim in the house are tohar. Now Reb Shimon Gamliel adds, or it could be that he originally put it in the right corner. We find it now in the left corner. Do I have to assume that the ganef was the one that picked up the kardim and he took it from one corner to the other, and therefore in the meantime he touched all of the kalim and they are tamei? Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, no, I'm going to assume once again that the owner took it mizav yezu, he put mizav yisacheres v'shochach, and he forgot to return it back to the first zavius. Now the interesting thing is, if you look at this braisa, in the reisha we didn't mention the word zavius at all. Zavius means a corner of a room or of a house. We didn't mention anything about zavius. We're talking about a kardim she'ovad. It's lost. I don't know where that kardim is. So the Tanakhama says it was a ganef that stole it. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, he probably lent it to somebody. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel says, oh, by the way, in the case of Zav Yizuv, and Yechba Zav Yisacheres, also he probably forgot. Who's talking about Zav Yis? Says Yimor Chesun Mechzav Al-Kitani. We have to do a little surgery on this price and add a few words. And we start the price again. Kardim she'ovad b'bayis. We lost the kardim. It's not here anymore. The kardim was lying there for the last 25 years. I cannot find it. Then I have to say b'bayis tomish. Ani oimer odom tomin nechus hashom v'netoloi. I have to assume that there was a ganav that came by and he touched all of my wares and he touched this and that and the other thing until he found the kardim and he decided to steal the kardim. He left everything else behind and he took that, and therefore everything is b'chinas tamei because the ganav was probably tamei and he made everything tamei. Now we are adding words which we didn't have before. Oi! What happens? Shenich b'kazav yezu. I always keep the kardim on the right side of the kitchen. Always in the right corner over there. And now one morning he comes out and he finds Bezav Yisacheres and he finds it in the left corner and he says, who took it from the right to the left? What happened over here? Says the Tanakhama, says Rebbe, Habayis Tomei. Why is the Bayis Tomei? Once again, I have to be concerned that, according to, the Rabban and the Tanakhama, I have to be concerned that a Ganef took the kardim initially, and then afterwards said, this kardim is not worth anything. It's broken, it's bent, forget about it. And he was the one that put it into the Zav Yisacheres. But in the meantime, he touched all of my instruments, implements, all my cutlery, all my crockery, all my pots, and my pans. So therefore, Habai is tummy, everything is tummy. Shani Oimer, Odom tummy nechlus Hashem, unatolay, mizav Yizuv, and yichem mizav Yisacheres. You know who took it from the right corner and put it in the left corner? That ganav that we're talking about. So everything is tummy. Reb Shem Gamliel Oimer, Habayis Tohor, Shani Oimer, Hishili Ach v'Shochach. Oy Shnitol Mizav Yizuv, v'Niyach Mizav Yizuv v'Shochach. The Baal HaBos was slightly absent-minded. After all, kardim is not the most important thing in the world. So he thought that he left it in his right corner like he always leaves it there. And he forgot. And he put it to the left corner. It was he himself that did it. It was no ganav. So therefore, everything is Tohor. So Gemara says, that's the very case like the top of the Amud. Remember, we saw it that the night before he put all of the chametz b'zav yizu, and now we find the b'zav yisacheres. So what's my concern? That maybe an odom tamei, or maybe an achbar took all of the chametz and put it into another zavias. Do I have to be concerned? Says the Gemara, it's the same type of situation. Where according to the Rabbanan say, could very well be that there was an achbar. And if there was an achbar, maybe this is taka, other chametz, not the same chametz that we had the night before. And therefore we have to look for the chametz that was in the right corner, because I don't find anything left in the right corner. It's only in the left corner. I gotta look for it. That's according to the Rabban. According to Shimon Gamliel, come on! Probably he in the middle of the night, he was daydreaming and he couldn't sleep, and he looked at the chometz that was left over, he picked it up, and by accident he put it into another corner, and then he wakes up the next morning, hey, what? I put it in the right corner, why is the left corner? Etc. If you want to take a look at the Rashi on the first narrow line, middle of the line, the Gabi Chometz Nami, L'Rabbanon Choshishin, Shema Achbar Asa. Maybe the Achbar was the one that played around with this Chometz. Once I have to bring a mouse to the scene and say, the fact that there's Chometz that was originally in the right corner and is no longer in the right corner, somebody moved it. It wasn't me, so it was probably the Achbar that moved it. Once I'm concerned about an Achbar, then I have to worry about that maybe this in fact is brand new Chometz, that the Chometz that I find in the left corner is not the Chometz that I had in the right corner. Well, Rabbi Shimon says, come on, you just forgot. You don't have to be Baidik again. You just assume forgetfulness on the part of the owner. So this Shaila would be a Machlekes. Omarav, we go into the next case. Now from here to almost the Mishnah, we come across some cases where it gets, if you will, a little bit light. In other words, it can get a little bit comical, Rabbi Sai. So
what wasn't until this point?
No, until this point. It was very, very serious cases. You'll see what I'm referring to. You'll see, don't be nervous. Omarav, Achbar Nichnas. A mouse came into the house, the kikar b'fiv, and it had a piece of bread in its mouth. The mouse had kikar in its mouth. V'nichlas acharav, and I, the owner, I see that mouse, I run after the mouse, to try to catch it quickly. And as I'm running in, umatza pirurin, and I see that there are a bunch of crumbs on the floor. Ay, ay, ay. Now the question is, do those crumbs come from the kikar that was in the mouth of the mouse? Or are these crumbs which have nothing to do with that kikar? And therefore, if I find a lot of crumbs around, that means I have to do a new bedika because somebody else made a crummy mess over here. So it says, Rav, a terech bedika, you have to do a brand new bedika, m'lisha in darka shel achbar the fire. Achbarim, mice, are usually very, very careful with the bread that they have in their mouths, and they don't allow it to become crumbs. They hold it tightly, and they just run for the hills, and I have to be concerned where the achbar landed up with the piece of bread. But even if after I find the piece of bread, if I find over here crumbs, those are not from that bread because achbarim don't make crumbs.
The fire
means to make crumbs.
Crumble.
To crumble. The Yomar Rava, what happens the other way around? Tinik nichnas v'kikar biyadeh. A little baby kid came into the house with a piece of bread in his hand. V'nichnas achrav, and I quickly run after him. It's Erev Pesach, don't go with chametz in it. Tinik, what does he know? Omotze pirur, and he found crumbs on the ground. Enter v'dik, you don't have to be boydik anything more. Nesha darka shel tinik lefar, because children, babies, they are constantly making crumbs. If you have a baby at home, I'm sure you've seen it. The babies go and take pieces and they throw it down and it's a mess and you have to go afterwards and sweep it up and bring a vacuum cleaner, etc. Okay, next case. Boy Rava. Achber nichnes v'kikar b'fiv v'achber yoytze v'kikar b'fiv. You have a mouse that ran into the house with the piece of bread and then you see subsequently, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, a mouse rushing out of the house with a piece of bread in its mouth. The question is, is this the same mouse? Mao, me and Rina Haina Haidaal, Baina Haida Nafek. Is it the same mouse? And if so, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to go and make a new bedika. Because the same mouse that brought in the chometz took it out. Or maybe this is a second mouse. And therefore, even though one mouse took out bread, that the other one brought in bread, I have to do a new bedika. And im tim tzolayim, if you're going to be poishet, hainu haidi ol, b'hainu haidi nofak, it's probably the same mouse, come on. Ach, beloved nichnas, what happens if a white mouse entered the house, v'kikar b'fiv? And then 2 minutes later, I see the achbar shachar yoytze, that the achbar, a black mouse, is now leaving the house, v'kikar b'fiv. Now, what do I do now? Hi, vadi achrinu, there's no question about it that the white mouse didn't turn black over the last 2 minutes. That would be impossible. So this is obviously a new mouse. And therefore, presumably, this is a second piece of bread. And therefore, I have to look for that first piece of bread that the first white mouse brought into the house. Or maybe there was a bit of a scuffle between the white mouse and the black mouse. And the black mouse snatched that piece of bread from the first mouse. And therefore, I don't have to go and check anymore. The Imtim Solomon, if you're going to tell me, Achborim Leishakli Me'adari. No, mice are nice to each other. They have mutual respect. And therefore, they live in harmony. So you don't have to worry about that the black mouse started up with the white mouse. In fact, you do have to worry about it in the sense that if they didn't start up with one another, then even though the black mouse went out with the piece of chametz, the white mouse left a piece of chametz here, and this was not snatched because we're saying achbarim leshakli me'adadi. What happens now? This is what Daniel was talking about in the Amud Aleph. What happens? Achbar nichlus v'kikar b'fiv. You have a mouse coming in with the piece of bread in its mouth. The chulda yoytze, and now instead of the achbar leaving, now I see a weasel leaving v'kikar b'fiv, and it has a piece of bread in its mouth.
It's a cartoon.
I told you it becomes a little bit more light as we get through the Gemara. So Mao.
When they use the word kikar, they don't mean a loaf. They're just saying a piece of bread.
A loaf, or a slice of the loaf. We don't mean, or we mean a kikar, meaning a small roll. So the kikar doesn't have to be, you know, a 2 pound loaf. Could be a little roll. But either way, the point is it has a piece of chametz in the mouth. And so therefore says the Gemara, Mao. Come on, you know, the weasel saw the mouse, the weasel jumped on the mouse and stole all the chametz, and this chametz is the mouse's chametz, and I don't have to do new b'dika. Or maybe, in fact, the chulda's piece of bread is different than the achbar's piece of bread. Why? If the chulda, in fact, started up with a mouse and took away the bread, I wouldn't have found the bread in the mouse, in the mouth of the weasel. I would have found the mouse in the mouth of the weasel, because the weasel would prefer chopping a mouse than chopping a piece of bread, like we had yesterday. They prefer the meat to the gluten, to the bread. Right, we said that by the Uber in the house, etc., the fetus. So here too, I would have found the achbar. So since I didn't find the achbar in the mouth, I have to assume that this is a brand new piece of bread. But we're not finished, Rabbi Say. Vim tim tzaloimar, im isa de mi achbar shaklasi. Achbar befiya have a mishtakach. You're right, that in fact, if the weasel had taken the chometz from the mouse, we would have found the mouse in the mouth of the weasel, and so therefore, since I don't find the mouse in his mouth, I have to assume that this chometz is independent chometz of the one that was brought in by the mouse. What happens if achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv, the mouse came in, it had the piece of bread in its mouth, and the chulda yoitza v'kikar, the achbar b'fi chulda mahu. Now I have a chulda, a weasel that's running out, and in fact it has a kikar in its mouth, and the mouse in its mouth. Mau. Hachavadi iuhu. Must be that same mouse. That's got to be that same piece of chometz. Obviously, the chulda did a good job. The weasel caught the mouse, caught the chometz, took everything out, and therefore you don't have to do new bedika. Oidilma im isa di ihu nihu. If in fact this was the same mouse with the same piece of bread, kikar b'fi achba mishtaka chava boyish de kuchay. Then, lechoyra, I should say, it's taka true, I find the weasel, and I find the mouse in the mouth of the weasel, but I should have found in the mouth of the mouse the piece of bread. So instead of the weasel having two things in its mouth, independently the mouse and independently the bread, it should have only had one thing, that's the mouse in its mouth, and in the mouth of the mouse, there should have been the piece of bread. Or it could be that when the mouse saw the weasel, it was so scared, it ran for the hills. And the weasel caught up to the mouse and then said, you know, I prefer having a hamburger on bun. I don't want it just to have the meat. And therefore, he ran back to go and get the piece mouse of bread. Burger. And sorry?
Mouse burger.
Exactly, mouse burger. Instead of hamburger, mouse burger. Shh, I never thought of that. So he's going to have a mouse burger, and that's why he took both the mouse and the piece of bread, and therefore you don't have to go and be boitik anymore. This is the same piece of bread. How come it's not in the mouth of the mouse? After all, the mouse was holding the bread before, because the mouse was just so terrified, it dropped the goods and ran. And unfortunately, the weasel was quicker and was able to catch up to both the mouse and to the piece of bread.
I have a conclusion.
Take who?
I have a conclusion.
What's your conclusion?
The guys who wrote the cartoons had to be Jewish.
Says Rimur, take who? Tishbi Ataritz. We have to wait till Leo Novi to go and be poishet that final shayla. Since we cannot wait for Leo Novi, the best thing would be to go and be boidik the house once again to make sure that there's no chametz in the house. Is boy Rava. Now we have.
Just a quick question. Before, when we found the cardom in the bias, it was tame.
Right.
Did it say I have a sign on it, tame? I mean, how did they, you know?
You asked a good question. This Mandi Omra assumes that all ganovim are bad guys. Since they're bad guys, they don't go to the mikveh, and they don't get the shlishu shvi hazor from the mechatas. And so therefore, whoever this ganov was, is touching everything, so you're going to go and tell me a goy. A goy midrban also has a din of Izav L'chol Dvarav, he is also considered to be a Tomei. Boy Rav, okay, now we get to another couple of Shailas, but these are, if you will, normal, regular Shailas. We leave the Achborim behind. Is Boy Rav, Kikar B'Shmei Koira. What happens if I'm looking up to the ceiling? I don't know how it got there, but there's a slice of bread there between the beam of the ceiling and the ceiling itself. Do I have to go and climb up a ladder to go and take down that piece of bread? Even though, remember, bitl ba'al masagi, all I have to do is say my kol chamir b'chamir, and I'm mevatel all the chametz. But the chametz said, be bodek, to be on the safe side, shemayimtza gluska yofa. You might go and find a nice piece of Danish. Ed says it's a roll, according to the art scroll. I'm going to find it during Yom Tov, and who knows? I might decide to keep it, I might decide to eat it. And so therefore, but here, it's all the way in the ceiling, I don't have to come on. The Chum said, I give you a break, you don't have to take out a ladder and climb up. Why? Because that piece of chometz is not going to go and travel down by itself. You don't have to worry about I'll be gozer shem yim tzegluska yof. I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it. It's there in the ceiling. Oy dilma zinin the nafa v'yosel mechla. As you know, even buildings have a tendency of shaking from time to time. There could be a strong wind, a strong hurricane, a tornado, whatever it happens to be. An earthquake, exactly. And so maybe a strong draft came through the window, and that piece of chametz might fall down to the ground. And so therefore the rabbi said, eradicate it. Yeah, I'm taka nervous about that, and therefore the rabbi said you do have to take. It's not enough to do a bedika, but you have to go and climb up the ladder and remove it. What happens with the other way around? Kikar bebar. I have a kikar all the way down. I have my telescope, my binoculars, and I look all the way down. On the bottom of that bar, unfortunately, there is a piece of chametz. Sir chsum laloi said, do I have to go and take a ladder to climb down to get the chametz out? Oyein tzarech. For sure, it's not going to come up by itself. And one thing is certain, it's not like the case where it's in the ceiling where it might fall down. Here it's not going to fall up. So I don't have to bother. What happens if the plumbing in his bathroom is not working? And the only available place to do his bodily needs is to go down into that bar and to relieve himself. He comes down to the bottom of the bar. He says, ah, I got a reward. I got a piece of bread here. By accident, he might come to eat it. And if you're going to go and say, zimnin de nochas de tzarchi v'osin l'meichla, then in fact, I do have to be concerned about that. Let me ask you a different shaila. Now, this new shaila, l'choyt, is unrelated to the old shaila, and therefore Rashi says that the imtim tzaloyma that we had should be taken out. Usually when you have imtim tzaloyma, means you have a series of shailas. If you're willing to concede me on this point, what about the next point? Okay, you're conceding at that point, let's go on to the next one. And that's how all of those cases were previously. But this really is totally unrelated, therefore Rashi says you should take out the imtim tzaloyma. So what does it say in the Gemara? Kikar b'fi nachash. You have nebuch, a snake, which is on your property, and it's holding on to a kikar, to a piece of bread. Tzorech chabar lohoitzi or ein tzorech? Do you need to go and call a chabar? What's a chabar? A chabar means a professional snake catcher or professional snake tamer. Someone that is not afraid of snakes. Remember, this may be a poisonous snake. So
pest control.
But this is not just a pest. This is snake control. So do you have to go and pay for a chabar? Chavar is not a chavar, a good friend. Chavar means a professional snake control individual. Lohoitzi, to get the snake out, and more particular to go and get the chametz out with the snake. Or yein tzarech, do you not have to? Begufei atuchu rabbanon. The rabbanon were matriach a person to say, you got to do a bedikas chametz. I know it's going to take you an hour. You're going to have to bend over. You're going to have to take your candle. All of that is true. That's part of the mitzvah. But b'mamaynei lo yatuchu rabbanon. Maybe when it came to money, the chametz said, okay, ad kan, we're not going to be mechayiv to go and pay money to go and hire this special snake control individual. Maybe it makes no difference. So tomorrow, teiku tish be yataritz. We'll have to wait for Leon. Okay, on to the next mission. We started off on Masechta the Bayis side that you have to make a bedika or la arba asar the night before erev Pesach. Now Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, boitkin or yedalit, ubi yedalit shachrus. The simple interpretation is that Rabbi Yehuda requires three bedikais. We will see, however, in the Gemara that will not be the maskana. But that's at least the Havamina. Rabbi Yehuda requires three. One, or Yudalit, the same thing as our first Mishnah. Ubi Yudalit Shachris, again in the morning when you get up. After davening, you have to do another. And b'shas beer, when you do the beer chametz at around 11 o'clock, before you mevayer all the chametz, do another quick check everywhere, upstairs, downstairs, make sure there's no chametz left. If you didn't do the bedikah the night before, yivdik b'yedalit, then you should be boydik on yedalit itself. Loy bodak b'yedalit, if you forgot to make a bedikah at night, and you didn't make a bedikah during the day, yivdik b'toich hamoyed, then you should be boydik b'toich hamoyed. Now I know, when you see the words b'toich hamoyed, it sounds like during yontif. But Rashi quickly dispels that interpretation. Rashi, you see in the Mishnah, Take a quick look at the Rashi. B'toich ha-moyed, says Rashi, b'sho'oshishis shu moyed ha-bir. The word moyed over here doesn't mean moyadim l'simcha, chagam zmanim l'sosay. Moyed means the time. What time are we talking about? We're talking about the shas ha-bir, shortly before b'sho'oshishis. Shishis is 12 o'clock. So, short before 11 o'clock, go and make a quick bedika, b'toich ha-moyed. What happens if you forgot to make a bedik at that time? Then yivdek li'achar might continue your mitzvah of bedikas chametz even after that. Rashi says means v'sheishos ulamala ad shetechshach, the whole erev yontif from 12 until 6 o'clock, until you go to shul, till you get ready to start davening, etc. You still have that final opportunity. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah. Tosfos respectfully disagrees, and Tosfos says no. B'toich ha-moyed means be boidik during Yom Tov, if you didn't make a bedika before Yom Tov. And if you didn't make a bedika during Yom Tov, make a bedika after Yom Tov. And you're saying to yourself, what's the purpose of making a bedika after Yom Tov? And therefore Tosfos says that I, Tosfos, respectfully disagree with Rashi as to the purpose of making a bedika. Rashi said at the very outset of our Masechta, the purpose of the bedika is because I'm concerned bal yirua bal yimotze. I might find chometz during the entire yontif, and if I find that, I'll be over on the din of lo yirua lecha si'or, lo yirua lecha chometz, lo yirua lecha si'or b'chol gvulecha. And then we have the other pasuk, shivas yamim si'or lo yimotze bebateichem. You're not allowed to find the chometz. So therefore, I only worry about that pre-yontif. I'm not worried yontif or after. No reason after yontif I should go and check to make sure was there yontif, was there chometz there previously. If there was, there was. If there wasn't, there wasn't. There's no purpose in checking it. However, Tosfos respectfully disagrees back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and he says that the reason why the chachamim were machayiv you to make beer chometz and the bedika and the beer chometz is shlo yovel oichlai, that you shouldn't come to eat it. Says Tosfos, even after yontif you have to do that bedika because you're not allowed to eat chametz she'over olav ha-pesach. And that's why we are careful after Pesach when we buy chametz. We buy it only from those stores that sold their chametz to a goy, or you buy from a goyish shopkeeper, or you buy from new chametz that was delivered after Pesach. Shlomo, you seem to have a question.
There seems to be an inherent problem, as we've already learned that you have to search before you can burn. So how do you burn here then? If you can search till doing moed or after the chag.
No, so whenever we see the word boidik or we see the word mavatl, the two really, or not mavatl, boidik or beer, the two really go together. Because remember, right, when we do our bedikas chametz, the bracha that we make is not al bedikas chametz. We make a bracha al beer chametz. So the bedika is a requirement. It's kind of the first step towards the beer. I can't go the next morning to go and burn chametz if I have no chametz to burn. So therefore, I search for the chametz, find it, put it aside. Next morning, I go and burn it. So what our Mishnah is telling us is the way Rashi is learning that there's only one purpose of being bodek and then ultimately burning that chametz is to make sure that you don't have chametz there during the yontif, because the Torah says bal yirah bal yimotze lo yirah lecha lo yimotze. So therefore, I got to get that chametz out. No purpose in now looking for it during Yom Tov. I don't want to look for it. I don't want to find anything. Certainly after Yom Tov, I have no reason to go and do a bedika or a beer. Well, Tosfos said, no, you do have a reason. Why? Because I'm concerned about eating. Okay, so after Yom Tov, I'm concerned about eating? Yes, because it's chometz olav ha-pesach. So be boidik then to make sure you have no chometz from before. That's the last Tosfos over here. Ayin Shem. Anyway, Zog Tigwar.
Have people made a minute out of that? Checking for chametz after the chag?
According to the Rabbanan, that's what you would have to do. I am not familiar with anyone that's ever done that, because all the Jews that I'm familiar with did a bedika the night before. And if they didn't do a bedika, then presumably when they came into shul, they were talking about, oh, I couldn't find that 10th piece of chametz, I was looking high and low, it took me an extra hour, I finally found it. What chametz are you talking about? Oh, you forgot to do bedika's chametz! So when would anybody forget? Especially if a person has a family, the kids are going to remind them, and they're going to have all different types of things to say, and you go and you come, and it's a whole big thing. Anyway, in fact, according to the Chum, if a person forgot on Erev Yom Tov, forgot during Yom Tov, after Yom Tov, he has to still make a bedika in case he comes across old Chumich of Lower Pesach. Finally, we end the Mishnah, Masha Mishai, Yanichana Betzina, anything that you left over from the first night, in other words, go back to the night of doing the Bedikas Chametz, you always put away some chametz for the next morning to eat for breakfast, put it away in a safe place, so you don't have to worry about an achbar or a chulda coming on the scene and snatching something away and putting it away, and then you're going to have to go and do a brand new bedika. So put it away in a safe, secure place. So, Gemara, my time of the Rebbe Yehuda, where did Rebbe Yehuda come from that he said you have to have three bedikos? We find three times in the Torah is concerned about the presence of chametz in your rishus. The first one is pasuk 1. Lo yirah lecha chametz v'lo yirah lecha se'ar b'chal gvulecha. Make sure not to see any chametz or se'ar. So that's one hashbasa. The word hashbasa really means to eliminate the chametz. The reason why we call Leirah Lecha Chametz Leirah Lecha Se'ar, that it's Hashbasa, because it's telling you the reason why I'm eliminating the Chametz, because I have a prohibition against seeing the Chametz on my property. So that's one time.
Why not two?
Because Igmar is going to say later on that we need both Chametz and Se'ar, that one alone would not be enough. Why do I have to have both? Because chametz is edible, se'or is not edible. And se'or is intensive chametz because it's machmitz and it causes other things to become chametz. It's sourdough. As opposed to regular chametz, just chametz on nishkefer. So Gemara is going to make a trichasa, so that this pasuk is considered to be one pasuk. And then I have a pasuk number 2, Shiva Siyam, se'or li motzah b'techem. That's number 2. And number 3, ach b'yam rishon tashbis se'or b'techem, that you have to eliminate the chametz. I have 3 times that the Torah says, eliminate, get the chametz out. That's why you have to have 3 bedikas according to Reb Yehuda. Mazel Reb Yosef. I have a brayis, Reb Yehuda Omer, koshli bodak mishloisha prakim alalu shuvein and boidik. What happens if you weren't boidik these 3 times? You forgot all the 3. That's it. Don't be boidik after that. Alma, so what do I see from this brayisa? B'mikan ve'elechu depligi. That the focus of Reb Yehuda is not so much on the 3 times, but rather don't do it a 4th time. In other words, there are only 3 times you can do it. After that, forget about it. So we see that the focus of Reb Yehuda is not on the 3, but really on the Mekan Ve'elach. Now, it's not crystal clear where we see that. It's Alma, we see Mekan Ve'elach. No. Reb Yehuda could be saying, I need 3, and don't do it on a 4th occasion if I didn't do the first 3. So therefore, Marzutra Masti Yochim, Marzutra has another version, and this version is crystal clear. Masav Reb Yosef, the same Masav Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda Oimer, in the Braisa, Kol Sholei Bodek, Bi Echad Mishloi Sheprakim Alolo. If you forgot to be Boidik one of these 3 times, Shuvena Boidik, Almub Shuvena Boidik Kudapligi. What the Gemara is being Medayik from this Braisa is not that Reb Yehuda is Machayev to go and be Boidik 3 times. Reb Yehuda only holds you have to be Boidik one time. But Reb Yehuda is telling you is, these would be the proper time periods within which to do the bedikah. Lichatchila, do it the night before. If you forgot the night before, do it in the morning, shachris. If you forgot shachris, do it right before Zman Biur. And now Reb Yehuda says, Koshali Bodek B'Echad Mishloi Sheprakim, if you forgot all 3 times, 3 times you struck out, Shuv ain't a boidik. You don't get a 4th chance. Don't be boidik after that. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Taka doesn't require 3. He only gives you the 3 time intervals or the time periods when you should go and do the bdika if you didn't do it previously. El Rabbi Yehuda Nami Imloi Bodak Omar. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees you only do it once, not 3 times. So what's the machlokes hanamish between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Mar Sava Mikami Isur in Bas Isur Alai, says Rabbi Yehuda, only do Bedikas Chametz before the Isur hits. Why do it after the Isur is hit? And therefore, one of those 3 times, the night before, no Isur yet. The morning, no Isur yet. And Bishas Bir, before Bir Chametz, before the Isur hits of Bal Yeroa, Bal Yimatze, the Isur of don't eat, good, do it then, do your Bedika, do your Bir. After the Isser hits, meaning after 12 o'clock midday, forget about it, don't even get close. Why not, says Rashi? To Masel Mechlumine. Because you're being boidik the chametz, you're going to find a gluska yofa. Instead of burning it or throwing it out, I might as well eat it. Baltashkas. And he goes and eats it. You're not allowed to. It's already awesome. So therefore, Gzei Osel Mechlumine. Rabbanan Tzavi, Loi Gezerin, I'm not Goizer, and therefore, keep on being boydik sederban in betoicha moed, even the achra moed. We'll stop in Yetchem over here and migoz Rabbi Yehuda to be continued tomorrow. Any further questions are by side. Have a wonderful day. Brachah batzlo.